Welcome to 721 Live. I'm Sam Hunter. I am glad that you're with us. We're talking about this idea of one word that you are going to use as your catalyst as you move forward into this next year, one word to help you grow closer to Jesus and go deeper into the kingdom. One word. We started this last week, and we're going to talk more about it this week. I just want to remind you that 721 Live is the radio arm of 721 Ministries, and you can find out all about us by going to our website, 721ministries.org. That's 721ministries.org. We started this series just last week, so you can go to that site, and you can find the radio shows that have been archived there. We have another site called puttinggreenblog.com, puttinggreenblog.com. And on that website, we've got devotions that we produce each week. We call them Putting Greens. And by the way, we have a book out, a second book, a devotional book, the Putting Green number 2 devotional book. We put one out about two years ago, and it was very well received. And we're already getting great responses on this one. So go to that website, puttinggreenblog.com. Check out that book. Check out the devotions that we write each week. We don't call them blogs. We call them devotions. Or 721ministries.org. Now, I am having such a good time with this idea of the one word or one very short phrase that you would use to be your prism through which you viewed the oncoming year, weeks, months, that this would be the catalyst, that this would draw you closer to Jesus, deeper into the kingdom. It's not a New Year's resolution. It's not something that you commit to doing. It's really more an idea that you commit to becoming. And this word that the Holy Spirit will place on your heart is the word that you'll remind yourself, well, this is the way I want to live. This is the way I want to go deeper. It's also not think happy thoughts. It's really asking the Holy Spirit, what is it you want from me? What word would you have convict me, that you would have motivate me? And I'll bet you that just listening just that little short bit about this, you're already thinking of a word, because the Holy Spirit has put that word on your heart before, and you're already going, well, okay, I know what he means. And you might end up, your initial reaction might be like my friend Bob, who said, oh, there's too many words, I can't bring it down to just one. And then 30 seconds later he said, no, who am I kidding, I know exactly what it is. There's so many different words, and I'll go over some of them in the show today and some more next week, as a matter of fact. But the Holy Spirit will put one on your heart. He put generous eyes on my heart. Matthew 6:23-24. Generous eyes. When Jesus says, if your eyes are good, they'll be full of light. Well, the word there is not good, it's generous. And I think about having these generous eyes, viewing everyone in a light most favorable to them. Giving grace in my heart and my mind towards anybody around me, any situation around me. In the vernacular, cutting them some slack. I have very generous eyes, except for when I don't. And then I have none. That means I'm judgmental. And that means I think I'm superior. And that means I'm blind, ignorant, lost, knucklehead who has forgotten what Jesus has done for me. And that I don't deserve a thing. And why would I judge anybody else? All these things that I do, generous eyes say, Sam, you want your heart to be full of light. So I don't want to plant a particular word in your heart, although we'll go over words. But I want you to be thinking about this because, as Dallas Willard says, grace is not opposed to effort. Grace is opposed to earning. You see, we like grace. We know that we're saved by grace. We know that there's nothing we can do to earn our way into heaven. Well, I want you to know there's nothing you can do to earn God's love more, because he loves you perfectly. But that doesn't mean you don't make an effort. Grace is not opposed to effort. It's opposed to earning. And although very few of us would say, well, I think I can earn my way, we don't verbalize it, but we have that tucked down in our hearts somewhere that you give me a checklist and I'll do it. Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and perseverance godliness. And he goes on with a few more words. For this very reason. For what reason? For what reason is he talking about? For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith. Well, he has just said about your Heavenly Father, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. that we are able now to participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. And for this very reason, make every effort. When you read Romans 12, 1 and 2, Holy Spirit through Paul says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Stop conforming to the patterns of this world, but rethink the way you're thinking. When he says, in view of God's mercy, at the very end of chapter 11 in Romans, Paul launches into this doxology of praise and joy and thanksgiving and glory to the Lord of all the things he's done for us. Peter says, for this very reason, because of all the things he's done for you. Look at how he saved you from hell. And then look at all the blessings and the gifts that he's given you. Holy Spirit through Paul says, in view of God's mercy, in view of all the things he's done for you, make every effort to grow deeper, to go deeper. So this whole idea of this exercise of one word or one little short phrase is all about making an effort. It's all about making the effort. And how do we do this? We do it through the Holy Spirit. We do it step by step with the Holy Spirit. It is a process, but it's a process I want you to start now and be thinking about, Holy Spirit, what word is it? Because, as I say, you, listening to me right now, you probably already know the word that the Holy Spirit wants you to think about. Step by step through the Spirit. It's a great little jewel, a little nugget in Galatians 5:25, where the Holy Spirit through Paul says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. See, we're drafting behind the Holy Spirit. None of this can we do. This is not a self-help program. We're drafting behind the Holy Spirit. We're getting in sync with the Holy Spirit's power to draw us closer. So last week, we talked about some of the words that come up that the Holy Spirit might be mentioning to you, that might be placing on your heart. One of the words was surrender. Another word was, another man that I talked to said, listen, gratitude, hope, which is confident expectation. One man said, I want to be more positive. Another said, I want to have more joy. Trust came up several times. Forgive, forget, release. Be an encourager. Plant seeds. Loosen up. I want to give you some passages to go along with these. One man said that my scripture passage for this coming year is Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but it's Christ who lives in me. So maybe his word is crucified. As in, I'm going to crucify the old self. There's several words that I want to come back to and talk some more about them, but I want to pause at this moment and say, how are you going to do this with the Holy Spirit's help? How are you going to do this? How are you going to take this one word, this one little short phrase? And how are you going to move forward and have it draw you further into the kingdom? Well, you start as the Holy Spirit gives you that one word that he's putting on your heart with conviction. There typically is a corresponding negative word. If I don't have generous eyes, then I have judgmental eyes. Is that right? Which means I think I'm superior. So I have to start thinking about these words that I'm struggling with. They have a stronghold on me. And start thinking about these negative words that have propelled the positive one word into my life. So if you tell me that impatience is an issue for you, and every man listening to me right now is nodding his head, a lot of women, too. A lot of you ladies, too. But I can promise you every man is. When you tell me, well, you know, I'm not patient enough. I want to be more patient. Well, what is it mean? What is it about that? What is it that's going on in your life? See, you're not going to be able to be patient just by gritting your teeth. You've tried that. I'm sure you've tried that. I'm going to be more patient this year. And you don't get 3 minutes into the new year and you're already showing your impatience. Well, you have to back off of that. If I'm going to have generous eyes, which I have most of the time, so the problem comes in the moment when I need generous eyes, I don't have them. I need to back way back and think about the negative words, the strongholds in my life, and start working on those by, as Romans 12:2 says, renew your mind. Rethink the way I'm thinking. I've got to back way off, way away from the moment. If lust is an issue for you, then you've got to back way off from the moment that you look at that man or that woman with lust. You've got to get way back, because you've got to become a patient man. You've got to, a woman. You've got to become a someone who is filled with Jesus' love before you will not lust. You have to become someone who recognizes forgive how much he or she has been forgiven before you're going to forgive other, be able to forgive other people. Before you can act on your one word, you've got to go back and become that person. I want to be a patient man. Well, then I have to go back and see what are my triggers? What are the negatives that start causing me to... Because each one of you, if you said patience, there are times when you are patient. What is the cause when you're not patient? And we find the cure, we find the pattern, we find the agenda, the action plan for how we move forward with one of my favorite passages, 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5, where the Holy Spirit says through us, through Paul, you have a divine power. You, if you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit, you have a divine power to demolish strongholds. And see, these negative things we're talking about, where the positive word, the one word, will carry you forward, you've got to recognize that stronghold, that negative stronghold. And I want you to see the words that the Holy Spirit gives you. You have a divine power to not put a dent in, not to make a little bit better, not to polish up a little bit, but to demolish these strongholds. You have a divine power, the Holy Spirit, to demolish these strongholds. Not just to make a little change, not just to get a little better, not just to cut into that problem a little bit, make a dent in it. No, to demolish it. You can do that because you've got the Holy Spirit. So we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. That's what we'll tease out in the second half of the show. This is Sam Hunter, 721 Live. More straight ahead. We'll be right back. Welcome back to 721 Live. I'm Sam Hunter. I'm glad you're with us. We're talking about moving forward, going deeper into the kingdom. How do we do that? How do we demolish the strongholds that have been holding us back? This whole series that we're on, and I really just have to follow the Holy Spirit, so maybe it's another week after this, maybe it's two more weeks after this, maybe, but I know it's not going to finish in today's show. We started last week. What one word to carry you forward. One short phrase. Mine is generous eyes. Yours may be any number of words that the Holy Spirit would put on you. But the way we're going to do this is we're going to take 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 5, these very great promises. You have divine power. That's not even a promise. That's just a fact. If you're saved, you have a divine power to demolish strongholds. How do we do it? We take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. You take captive your negative thoughts and you replace them with your one word. You take captive your negative thoughts and you make them obedient to Christ by replacing them with your one word. So if my negative thought is this knucklehead in front of me is doing something I don't like and I'm going to judge him automatically as being an idiot, if you don't mind me speaking the vernacular, let's keep it real. Well, I got to grab that thought. I got to capture it and make it obedient to Christ by replacing it with my positive word, which is generous eyes. And I'm going to try to do that in the moment. But the real success comes as I become someone with generous eyes. Because my whole heart, my whole body is full of light, as Jesus says. That I become someone with generous eyes because I back all the way back and realize, look what he's done for me. And I don't deserve that. Matter of fact, I surely don't deserve to be saved. If he is going to save me, which he did, then he should have stuck me in a corner and told me that I can starve over there for the rest of my life, just be lucky you're saved, or beat me with a bat for the rest of my life. Any of those would be justice. Any of those are what I deserve. I certainly do not deserve any of the blessings he's given me and continues to give me. And I certainly don't deserve being forgiven for what I did 5 minutes ago in my mind or this morning or driving over to the radio station. I have to replace the in-the-moment negative, capture that thought. Let's say lust is yours. And that could be you men It could be some of you women, too. Lust is not something that you can deal with in the moment, but in the moment you capture that thought. First look, here comes the thought behind it, you capture it and replace it with your one word. Maybe your one word is, no thanks, I'm full, and that's a little short phrase. Because of the fullness that we have through the Holy Spirit. I love that word full, and I love the idea of the fullness. And we read in Ephesians 3, starting around verse 14, that wonderful prayer that Paul gives us, and he finishes it with the being filled to the measure of the fullness of Christ. Being filled to the measure of the fullness of Christ. So you get ready, you think about your automatic reaction. The stronghold that you have is to lust. You just say, no thanks, I'm full. No, I don't. I'm full. I don't want to put those images in my mind. I don't want to think about that. No thanks, I'm full. We have to grab the negative thought, make it captive to the positive thought. We have to replace the negative words that pop into our head and replace them with positive words. And I want to say again, this is not think happy thoughts. There is a term in therapy called cognitive distortion. And it's when you don't think clearly about things. Now, you think you're thinking clearly because you're thinking these things, but it's your cognitive, your thinking is distorted. You've got these little words, these little voices, these not audible voices, but these thoughts that ping-pong around in your head that just aren't true. You got to grab those thoughts, capture them, and make them obedient. So let's just go through a few negative words. You tell me if any of these sting you a little bit. Judgment, superiority, resentment, insecurity, control, anger, greed, shame, fear. How about this word we've already talked about, impatient? Many of you, as you listen to me right now, are saying, well, that's me. Well, let's examine for just a second why you're impatient. And let me just think about in the moment when you're impatient and you act out on it, whether you just do it by your looks or by your grunting or your sighing or your actual words. You know, what is it you're being when you're impatient? Selfish. You're being selfish. You're being a selfish, spoiled, rotten, little immature baby, aren't you? I mean, can I get an amen on that? That's what you're being. You're being selfish and spoiled and immature and acting like a daggum little baby when you're impatient. Now, if I don't want to be impatient, I want to become a patient person. Well, one of the things I'm going to grab those thoughts and say, I don't want to be that. Sam's right. I'm just being selfish. I'm just being spoiled rotten. I'm just being immature. I don't want to be that person. I'm going to capture that thought and make that obedient to Christ. I'm no better than anybody in this room. My way's not necessarily better. The way things are going, they might be the way the Lord wants them to go. Oh, I'm going to become a patient man because who am I? What about lust? Why do you lust? And I'm going to give you one word. Because you're lazy. You lust because you're lazy. You won't make the effort not to look. You won't make the effort to turn your eyes. You won't make the effort to capture that thought that follows the look and make it obedient to Christ. I have a dear friend, loves Jesus. This is years ago. Probably isn't true for him now, but years ago, he said, you know, Sam, I go out, I run every morning at 6 o'clock. And as I'm walking out the door and I'm stretching, these two girls that live in the neighborhood, these two wives come running by and they've got the short shorts and they've got the neon and blah, blah, blah. And he said, and it just gets me every time. And I said, well, you know, you could not look. No great spiritual battle there, is it? Just stop looking. So when you lust, you're just being lazy. These negative words react. I'm empty inside. I have greed, shame, fear that we talked about. These are all negative words. And the goal is to become a man or a woman who can look at any of these and say, no thanks, I'm full. I don't want that. There's no room inside of me for that. See, if you're going to have peace, you have to become a peaceful person. If you're going to have joy, you have to become a joy-filled person. If you're going to have gratitude, you've got to become a grateful person. If you're going to have confidence in Jesus, not in yourself, but in Jesus, then you have to step back and say, well, why would I? If you want balance in your life, you have to become a balanced person. We have to be before we can act. This is not about gritting your teeth and doing better, but it is about making every effort to grab, to take captive any of these thoughts and make them obedient to Christ. So as we think about some of these words, some of these positive words, surrender. That is the key for every man I know. I'm sure for a lot of you ladies, but that is the key, surrender. Surrender my claim to my right to myself, as Oswald Chambers says so often. Surrender. Gratitude. Gratitude. That is a huge word, and we did several shows on gratitude. Jesus says in that story at Luke 7:36, starting around there, where he's having lunch with the Pharisee, and the sinful woman comes in and wipes his feet, and the Pharisee said, if he were a prophet, he'd know she's a sinful woman. And Jesus said, I want to tell you a story. Two people owed money. One owed a little bit, one owed a lot. Both were forgiven by the master. Who is going to love the master more? Who's going to have more gratitude? And he said, well, the Pharisee kind of grumbled out, well, I'm sure the one who had more forgiven, had a bigger debt forgiven. I know what Jesus did for me. Do you? Do you walk around understanding that he saved you from hell and then gave you heaven on earth? Gratitude. Generous. You know, when we read in 1 Timothy, in Paul's letter, the Holy Spirit says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant or put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. Why would I be generous? Because I put my hope in Jesus. And Jesus told me to be generous. Maybe generous, not generous eyes, maybe generous is the word for you. Hope, confident expectation. That's what the biblical word means, confident expectation, not wishful thinking. Romans 15:13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope, confident expectation by the power of the Holy Spirit. Joy. 1 Thessalonians 5, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. This is what God wants for you. Trust. You know, in Galatians 5:6, we read the only thing that counts is faith, trust, expressing itself through love. Trust may be your word. See, we're coming back next week because we got so many more words to talk about. Maybe trust is your word. Maybe, as John Ortberg said, you believe in Jesus, but you don't believe what Jesus believed. And that stings, doesn't it? Because if you are having issues with worry and anxiety and fear, if greed is an issue, if control is an issue, then you do not believe what Jesus believed. Because you know that if you sat down with Jesus and you started telling him about the things that you're worrying about, he'd say, why do you have so little faith? He's saying, I understand you live in this world that you're surrounded by the culture and it's trying to blind you to me and my kingdom. But why do you have so little trust? And you would have to admit, because I don't believe you when you say that you're going to take care of me. I just don't believe it. Maybe forgiving, forgetting, release, forgive, forget, release is an issue for you. Maybe you would want to go back and read Matthew 18, starting at verse 21, where Jesus tells the story about the two men, the two servants. One was forgiven millions of dollars, goes out so grateful, goes out, bumps into another servant, owed him $10, and has him thrown in jail. Jesus didn't like that. I want you to be thinking about this. I really want you to take this seriously, and let's come back next week and let's talk some more about these one words, these one phrases. I'll leave you with this one. Love is a verb. Love is a verb. Love is not a noun. Love is a verb. It's how you live out your love. Ah, that's powerful. I'm Sam Hunter, and this is 721 Live. So long. God, peace to you. I hope to see you next Friday.